the Zoom drops and the microphone is not working and the camera's a little off. We don't see all that. We only see finished products.
It doesn't mean that we failed. It just means that it's just a lot to handle.
I actually ran away from it for a long time because I said, how am I going to replace real estate income with coaching income? And it may look a little chaotic, but those things light me up. And I was like, oh, I want to do that.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to 9 to 5 Mom with the Pod. I am your host, Fran. And today we have Ayo Haynes with us today. She's an open adoption advocate, single motherhood coach, real estate expert, and empowerment speaker. This is going to be actually a very exciting conversation. Thank you so much again for having me and being so patient with me in this whole process that you've seen the chaos behind the scenes.
Absolutely. You did it without sweating and you didn't miss a beat and you had your daughter come into your arms. I mean, this is exactly what we do. I homeschool, so I'm relying on the honor system with my daughter upstairs actually doing the work that she's supposed to be doing while I'm working down here. So this is exactly what your podcast is about.
Yes, yes. And I was going to touch on this this actual very topic because, you know, we're juggling everything. We're doing everything as moms and as parents. But at the same time, where do we find the time to do things? And where do we find the time to set goals? Where do we find the time to find ourselves in this world? Like, what do we need to, like, what are we going to do with our lives kind of thing? And it's something that I know that we talked about before the episode started. And it's one of the things that I really want to talk about in this episode. So I know that I tailor to mom content creators out there, but now I'm talking to all moms in this particular episode. And the reason I'm doing that is because not necessarily moms that are in content creation specifically feel jammed or stuck or I don't know what to do with my life. And this is where you come in. So I want to talk to all of them and just kind of explain that this feeling is absolutely normal and we're just taking it day by day, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to be gentle with ourselves. There is the desire to be perfect and to do things right. And we live in a very edited world where we only see the final version. We don't see the messy parts and when the Zoom drops and the microphone is not working and the camera is a little off. We don't see all that. We only see finished products. So it makes us feel that we have to be a finished product. Like our entire life has to be finished and perfectly crafted and sculpted. And, you know, the kids are going to not interrupt you when you're just at the middle of something important. Life happens. So we have to be kind to ourselves. We have to be gentle with ourselves and allow ourselves grace that we would actually allow more readily to other people.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. A very good point on that because it's just, there's so much pressure. And I talk about this probably on every episode, the societal pressure that we get as parents, especially for moms, that you have to be a certain way, that you have to act a certain way, that you have to do things a certain way. And then when we don't accomplish them, because a lot of the times it's just a lot for us to handle, it doesn't mean that we failed. It just means that it's just a lot to handle.
And we may not have the tools
exactly
set up to help us do it all. Like if we're trying to manage all of this in our brains, it's going to be almost impossible and something's going to fall to the ground.
Yeah.
Because we can't, even if we were carrying it in our arms, it's too much. Something is going to fall. So we have to be very intentional about setting time for ourselves to just decompress, setting time for ourselves to create a schedule, setting a time for ourselves to go, what's important for me to achieve today and what's not. And then we absolutely have to have an overarching goal and belief of what we want our life to look like and that we can achieve that. Because without that, we're just going through life, getting distracted by this thing and that. And those distractions multiply, they snowball, and they literally take our feet out from underneath us.
They do. They do. I was reading a book called The Dive. Not done with it yet. It's a 97-page book, so it's, limited. But I have it on my Kindle. And the reason it's a marketing, more of a marketing bookish kind of thing. But in reality, I feel like everyone should read it because it kind of fell in the self-help like section of like, hey, you know, a lot of the people that are, did I say the name of the book right? The Dive,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. The Dip. Oof, guys, I've had a morning today. It's the Dive, the Dip, whatever. Now I'm going to call mine the Dive. There you go.
So it's the cucumber dip at this point.
Yes, I'm going to do that now. I'm literally going to take my own advice on this. The funniest thing about it is that they talk about this throughout the whole book, that everyone that's in the dip, right, we're all in it. I feel like I'm in it right now, to be honest. And what sets us apart on getting out of the dip is just basically you being consistent. And that goes for everyone. Again, this is for all moms, not just content creation area. This is for everything where you're consistent. But a lot of the times before the dip, we're trying to figure out that little section. And I can speak of this because I've probably pivoted a dozen times in my life where I wanted, even in college, like I actually had this conversation with my sister-in-law. She is actually going to college right now. And she was asking me for advice. She's like, oh, what advice would you give me to call? Because I want to do mechanical engineering, I think it was that she wanted to do. And then, but she's like, but I don't know if that's what I want to do. And in Dominican Republic, which is where she's at right now, she is, a lot of the times when you pick a career, that's the career that you're supposed to pick. I did not know that. I thought like it's kind of like in the States where you kind of change your major as you go. You figure it out. The first 2 years you get your, you know, your basics, your courses and et cetera. And as we were having this conversation, I said to her, oh, I am such the wrong person to give you this advice, but I probably changed my major every single week. Like I probably lived at the counselor's office that to the point, I remember her name, Sonia, that I think she was tired of seeing me because one day I wanted to be a pediatrician. Another day I wanted to be a teacher. Then the next week I want to be a lawyer. And I'm like, no, scratch this. Let's go back to being a pediatrician. And then I want to be a psychologist. So again, not knowing what to do with your life is completely normal. We're going through it. I've been there. So we can talk about this.
I have definitely changed careers many times. You know, out of college, I went to a business school, right? I was very gung-ho about becoming a businesswoman. I went to a college that had a 5-year BA MBA program. So I was very intense on getting both degrees within 5 years, which meant that I couldn't go abroad because I had to stick to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And in retrospect, I'm like, what was the rush?
Yeah.
What was the rush? I'm going to work for the rest of my life. It would have been wonderful to have this overseas experience and meet all these different people. I ended up doing it after school, but you know, again, we put so much pressure on ourselves to do things like everybody else. And I think more than ever, especially for your sister-in-law, with the internet, there is a lack of need to the level that you and I mm-hmm. had the need to go to college the way we went to college and to get degrees, right?
Yeah.
There is so much knowledge on the internet. Even the colleges are doing, you know, remote classes on your schedule at your pace. So you have room to go, I don't actually think I like being a pediatrician. I think I like kids. You know what I mean? You can have the space.
Whoa.
Right. You can have the space to say that, but that is what happens. Like, so for instance, I talk about how, you know, a client wants to be a decorator, interior decorator. And then with the conversation going on and on, it's like, really not that she wants to be an interior decorator, but that she really loves the feeling of having a space that is crafted to her lifestyle. That's really what she's in love with, not necessarily the actual job and career of being an interior decorator. And so those are the kind of things that you have to ask yourself, right? What really lights me up? And I always say, go back to what made you happy as a kid. What was that first thing as a kid that you said you wanted to be, that you really loved? Because generally, those are the things, the careers and the hobbies that really resonate with us. I grew up playing tennis. I didn't play tennis for years, but it made me so happy. Was I going to be Serena Williams? No. Maybe in a different life with the right coaching and the right this, but that wasn't it. I had enough love of the sport and athletic acumen that I could actually get a scholarship for school and play it as an adult. And that's all I need, right? So I can go to that happy place. Not everything we do has to be ending up being your profession for the rest of your life, right? It could just be that thing that lights you up, that gives you space from a hectic day to go, I can decompress. I can hit that tennis ball as hard as I can because I'm getting my frustrations out. I'm getting energy out. I can dance and get the body movement going and letting myself express myself through my body. I can sing and give voice to a part of my life that is kind of secret, but I love doing this. And I can do it in my basement. I can do it in the shower. It's like all these little things that don't have to be perfect. They can just be things that you enjoy, light you up, and give you the room to tackle the rest of your day, the rest of your life.
Well said. It's very lifestyle versus passion type of vibe is throwing me. You actually sound like Robert Greene. I talk about him too. I'm obsessed with Robert Greene. Like I feel like at this point it's safe to say that. But he is the author of 48 Laws of Power for those of you who don't know. And also he has this book called Mastery, which I'm still like, I'm a third in the book. And he talks about just that. Of the stories, yeah, get into it. It's such a good book. He talks about different characters in history, how they followed their passions from when they were kids. But because in time, things change, lifestyle changes, you know, we become accustomed to a different type of society, maybe because of expectations, whether it's parents' expectations that they want us to be something that we are necessarily don't want to be. We kind of lose ourselves in the process. And then when we get to that level in life, we're like, oh, man, like I never did that thing that I really wanted to do. And it really goes back to that, what you said, what lights you up, and the lifestyle versus passion dilemma. I feel like that's a really big dilemma, because if it were up to anyone, like if you can picture yourself be anything, would it be what you're doing right now?
Absolutely. For me, yes. And it took a long time to get the nerve to do that.
Right.
And I actually ran away from it for a long time because I said, how am I going to replace real estate income with coaching income? I don't have enough courage in myself and belief in God, unfortunately, that I can do that. And he's going to allow me to make a living in the area that I'm so passionate about. And if I'm so passionate about it, that means I was put on this earth to do that. And that's what we should do, right? I think also we hear, what are you passionate about? What lights you up? People go, oh, well, I guess I should say I want to solve world hunger, but that's not everybody's job, right? That's not everybody's reason for being here on earth, right? We have been given one section of God's big plan, right? Mm-hmm. And if you can hold up your little section, and yours is being a mom, having a podcast that really caters to women who are just like you, who are content creators, who are mixing family life with work life and giving people inspiration, then that's what you've been put on this earth to do. Mm-hmm. I've been put on this earth to give people success rules and encouragement and how to create a life that is passionate, how to choose that hard thing to do, which for me was becoming a mother at 46 through adoption.
Wow.
That was scary, but it has led to this whole new career where I get to help other women have a life that they have envisioned for themselves, which involves being a mother. So if we could just get the courage to do that thing that we hear in the back of our head that we've turned the volume way down on, and we have maybe turned the volume on other things up, We might have even added a little alcohol, a little food, a little whatever to numb that thing that God told us that we should be doing. And that's going to help so many others. It doesn't have to be, you know, this huge stage that we're doing it on.
Right.
It could just be that we're doing what we were called to do.
Right. I've heard that a lot before, where we see it in social media when they talk about celebrities in particular, when they say, oh, you know, you could have done X, Y, and Z without the cameras there. If you really wanted to help, you could have just helped. You didn't have to take a picture of it. You didn't have to just show everybody, look at the good things that I bring. It's a very tricky subject for me. I'm not all against it because, again, I feel like in that particular situation, right, celebrities are celebrities. But I'm also, I understand the point of view because, you know, being a service, you know, to help other people, you know, doesn't require this, like, let me put this limelight on me if really what you're trying to do is actually shed light away from that and bring in the actual problem to try to assist. But a lot of the times, if I wanted to play devil's advocate on this, having the celebrity there does kind of shed light into the problem as well. So it, you know,
it's
weird. It's weird. Right. I don't know. Where I can't we tell are. Where I'm at on that. But I've seen people say that. Yeah.
I mean, as a society, that's where we are. We're celebrities, have standing. They validate things, whether they need to be validated by a celebrity or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It is tricky. And if you do not have a compass for yourself, mm-hmm. it can get very disheartening when you see that celebrity do something that does not align with how your values are.
Right.
So you have to understand and know what the intention of their acts are. And then, like you said, it is very important in certain instances to not record it, not to repeat it, not to mm-hmm. say, I've done this, and for an ego-driven end result, right? Just that I did it and that's fine.
Right.
But in telling your story in this society that we now live in, it will inspire people.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. And love it. But then again, to be clear, not everybody has the right intentions to do certain things. And that's a whole nother thing I do not want to get into. But back into specifically for women out there, yes, don't rush things. If it's something that lights you up, do it. If you want to check out that book that I mentioned, Mastery by Robert Greene, it's actually really good. It really goes into it because I'm not much of a self-helper book person. I like to read books that, you know, kind of like have history in it, some examples on it. And I think Robert Greene touches up on those where, like, he kind of says, hey, look, history already has done it. And these are the people who have done it. And these are the names of the people and how they did it. And I've learned so much, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, I actually am very compatible to the Charles Darwin story, for example, you know, like, you know, where you are just, you're not sure what you want to do. You're taking chances. You're taking risks. You had no idea where that trip was going to take you abroad, away from your family and things like that. So anyway, yes, I feel like it all starts with our passions of what we want to be. But I really,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I really want to talk about that. And I also want to point out that you're actually going to be coaching, right? For that particular scenario, for those people who want to just have smart goals in their life and in the future, right?
I am so excited. I've been spending a lot of time on this course. It's called The Smart Sister's Guide to Having It All. And then in parentheses, without losing your mind, right?
Because we're not going to add that.
Have it all without losing your mind. Like, it's too much, right? But if you have the right framework, it can happen and it can be done. And it can't be done all at once and by yourself. It takes a community. It takes making sure you have SMART goals, which you mentioned, which mm-hmm. is specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, and time-bound. And I go into all of this and what it means in the course. It's a 10-module course, really taking our time through setting the goals. Why is it important to set a goal? Why do we need financial literacy and planning? How to manage our time better using different techniques to do that? What books should we be reading? What time management software is there that we can use? And so all of these things in this day and age where things are so rapid fire, there's so many things pulling our attention all at once, legitimate and some that are not. We have to be very focused. And I decided to do this. First of all, I'm a very, very goal-oriented person. Mm-hmm. Have been since I was a kid. I have planned out my life. And unfortunately, the plan of having a husband and two children, actually I wanted four, did not come about, right? Not in the way that I thought it would. Mm-hmm. So I am very much focused on setting goals and being clear about what it is that I want from my life. Because if you do not have a map, how am I going to get from New York to California without a map? I'm just going to willy-nilly it? No. It will take me forever, and I'm going to put myself in situations that might be dangerous or take me off road and all of that. We have to have a map. We have to have a GPS for our life. And it doesn't come from, oh, I'm just going to throw it up and whatever happens. That leads to chaos. And as working moms who are doing content, who are creating, who have a definite passion about helping others, we have to eliminate chaos in our lives as much as possible. And we do have that ability. That is ours to do. So I decided that it was time for me to really set down this course. And I realized, I looked up, I'm like, how are we in February? And I mean, the time has gone so fast. Time is speeding up. It doesn't. And I talk to everybody and they say the same thing. And I know I haven't even heard people talking about goals this year and resolutions. I didn't even hear about people talking about that in December. Something's different. Something's off. Mm-hmm. And so I decided, you know what? I know that I'm not the only one who's feeling this way. Mm-hmm. I know that my clients aren't the only ones that are feeling that way. And if I'm working with a mom who's trying to decide the rest of her life, if she's going to, I should say a potential mom, if she's going to adopt, we need to start with, what does that look like? What do you need to change in your life in order to make this happen? Yeah. Do you need to change your job? So all of these things, as I was going through it, I was like, this is not just a something that I should just give to my clients who are looking to adopt or my success clients. This is an issue that needs to be brought forward to all women. And, you know, I call it the Smart Sisters Guide. And sister is generally a colloquial term that African-American women or Black women use, right? Even Latina women, we say hermana, you know, but I want it to resonate that sisterhood is a community, mm-hmm. right? It's like, you're my sister. I have to help you. Mm-hmm. I have knowledge about something that you need. You have knowledge about something that I need. Mm-hmm. We're sisters. Let's do this together.
I don't know who said it, but was it Joe Rogan? I think I saw a podcast where he said, I'm not about planning. I'm more about goal setting. Planning your life is one thing because that means that you're expecting it to be a certain way and go right. in a certain way. And it also depends on the stage of your life because there, which is why this podcast is particularly for moms that are content creators, because this is a different stage. A person in their 20s will not be able to understand what I'm talking about because I already went through that phase. That phase is a different phase. So when we talk about plans versus goal settings, in my opinion, I feel like goal setting is way better because you can, it's like you said, you can set up a map and the map can take some detours once in a while. It's okay because things happen along the ride, right? But planning everything must be, for me, is more like everything has to go that direction. Like it has to go that way. So I used to be a planner type where I'm like, everything has to go with my agenda. Everything has to be color coded. And then when I switched over to goal setting, it's been a lot easier because it's more flexible into, oh, this is the direction that I'm going. Not necessarily that's going to be your end result, but at least it will take you to your end result in the sense of like, maybe it's not that particular idea that you had when you started, but at least it was a goal, a map, like you mentioned, that it takes right. you to a certain place. So
absolutely. They have to be specific. Yeah. That's the S of SMART. We have to be very specific. I want to go to California.
Right.
Okay. That's specific.
Got it.
Measurable. When do you want to go to California? Next right. week. Okay.
Okay.
Is it attainable? Are you going to drive there? Are you going to swim there? Are you going to take a train there? Are you going to take a plane there? Right. Which one?
Right. Well, like, what do you want to do? And that's a very great example, because I get that with mom content creators, especially when I'm speaking to them. And they talk to me about, oh, you know, I'll start it when, when the kids are 10, or when it's a next phase in some other, in their kids' lives. And I'm like, don't start anything in a phase of a life, because I didn't start my phase until after my daughter was born, for example. And then every stage that she has is different. Right now, she's a toddler, 2.5. That's, oh, I hear her now. She's like, you're talking about me? She's like, I can hear you.
That's so cute.
She's so adorable. But yeah, she is in a different stage right now. Her baby stage, like this debate that we have, like, oh, the toddler stage is the hardest, the baby stage is the hardest, the newborn stage is the hardest. They're all stages. They're all hard.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm going to be struggling for the rest of my life. And I learned that from my husband's coworkers, because my husband talks about it like, oh, yeah, now I'm at the toddler stage and I can't wait for her to, you know, to be a little bit more independent and communicate with us about what exactly she wants. And then, you know, his coworkers already have teenage daughters and they're like, he doesn't know.
Right.
They always respond with, he doesn't know. And then I go, what does he mean? And I'm like, oh, because it never ends.
It never ends. I loved toddler stage. I love that stage. They're so communicative. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's all of those things, like the different parts of setting up a SMART goal,
yes,
that are so necessary, right? So it's specific, it's measurable. Like, when do you want to get there? You know, it's attainable. Can you get there in the time period that you say? Like, if I want to get there tomorrow, I'm not swimming there, right?
Right, exactly.
I'm going to have to take a plane.
Exactly. I love that. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're talking about, which is, what, first of all, we have to start from the core, like what you said earlier, what lights you up, what, you know, in fact, in this article that we were actually talking about earlier, we were, it's by calm.com. They have a blog and they talk about, I don't know what, they literally wrote an article called, I don't know what to do with my life, how to find your path. They actually talk about that. They say for goals in particular, you can, like, you find yourselves a little lost in life, you know, you're uncertain about what you want to do. So where goals come in is particularly planning out what you're thinking that you want to do. So it's actually pretty interesting the way that they framed it, because they talked about goal settings and they said that, and I'm going to quote this little passage only, the journey of self-discovery and goal setting is an opportunity to understand yourself, recognize your passions, and learn how to align them so you discover what you truly want to do with your life.
Absolutely. And I mean, I have been doing that without the case of SMART goals. Like, as a kid, I didn't know what that was.
Right.
I just knew I wanted to do that. How do I do that? I researched it and did it. And I have done, people who know me know that I have done a lot in my life, right? I have. And it's a good
thing. We all have.
I've traveled to all 50 states. I've traveled, you know, internationally. I've climbed 50-foot telephone posts. I've swung with dolphins. I did all these things because those things light me up. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. And it may look a little chaotic, but it was literally those things. And I said, I want to do that. And so I'm actually trying to get back to that stage where I could just go, you know, when you become a parent, things settle down and they don't have to necessarily, but you know, if you're a single woman, a single parent, things are a little different and we need to construct that too.
Yes.
But yeah, it's all for us to design, and it's all achievable with the right coaching, the right framework, the right support, and the right mindset, which is so key. If you don't believe that you can do it, then you're not going to do it.
Right.
If you believe that you can, then you will. You just have to figure out how.
Right. Mindset is incredibly important. I feel like that I used to down mindset a lot in the past, and this was maybe no parenting. I was not a parent. I was not pregnant, none of that. And like you said, I had rather of an adventurous world. You know, I traveled everywhere. I did a bunch of stuff that I wanted to do. And then my mid-30s, I settled down with my daughter. And it's different, but it's also kind of like, ah, like, this is a next stage in my life. Like, I don't need to go back and do that anymore. And I feel like that's the relieving part. But going back to mindset, it's important. Because when I used to down mindset, I'm like, so what? You know, figure it out, get over it, and just do what you need to do. But it doesn't work that way. Everyone's brain, every woman's brain in particular, is different. And especially when you go postpartum and or you become a parent through adoption, it doesn't matter. I feel like our brains shift into this new era, and it's the mindset almost becomes, it could be a good thing for you or it could be a bad thing for you if you don't know how to manage it. Because a lot of the things we mount excuses on top excuses on top of excuses. I've seen this in groups. I've seen this in where they're like, oh, I would do it, but I can't because, you know, I have something to do that day and then that's going to take me the entire day. And there's no time management, right? And because there's lack of time management, your mindset's just like, I can't do it. And like you said, if you think you can do it, you're not going to do it.
Right.
You're not
going to be, if you think you're going to be overwhelmed, yeah. You will be overwhelmed. Yeah. If you have no capacity yeah. to talk to yourself in a positive way, mm-hmm. to calm yourself down, to know when you are feeling restricted in your chest because you're mm-hmm. at the level of a panic attack, but it's not really there. Yeah. But we don't even realize that we're walking around shallow breathing all the time, mm-hmm. right? So that you need to make space for mindfulness exercises, for prayer, for meditation, for physicality, right? Mm-hmm. Doing exercises to even do voice work, even if you're not a singer. It is, so many of us don't speak our truth. Mm-hmm. And because we don't speak yeah. our truth, our true actual speaking voice is even different.
That's and true. So, oh my gosh. Yeah, that's
it's
so
restricted.
True.
It's constricted. And so if you're not speaking your truth, you're not breathing. Mm-hmm. You can't take a full breath. You can't use your diaphragm mm-hmm. to project. You think about how does an actor without a microphone project to the back of a huge theater because they have learned how to breathe
yeah.
into their diaphragm and to express themselves and to let that voice carry.
That's true. Very true. And it's very important. I think the most difficult thing to do besides opening a business, being a content creator, pursuing your passions, whatever it is that you want to do, the most difficult thing is getting over your mindset, because I know that it is true that life does gets in the way, and life will test you.
Yes,
it will test you. But that is true for everyone in different scenarios, like not the same as yours, but in different scenarios. And it's up to you at this point whether you want to yeah. pursue that or not. Like it's as simple as that.
And I will even add to that, that it's not just mindset, it's ego. Mm. Because so many times we do not do things because of our ego. Yeah. I don't want to apologize because what will that do?
Right.
We are holding on to being perfect and I didn't do anything, even though you knew it was wrong. But it's so hard for us to
yeah.
say, I'm sorry. It's so hard to have conversations because they're going to be difficult. I don't want to hurt that person. Yeah. I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to be the person who makes them cry. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's not even about crying. It's like we shy away from really difficult conversations that have the potential to break someone free from what's limiting them mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
Correct.
And so when we have an ego-based lifestyle where it's all about me, and it may not be narcissism per se, but it's I'm protecting my own self from an experience that I think I'm going to get hurt, yelled at, or shamed for.
Yeah.
And if we can just get past that and just go, you know what? I'm going to have a heartfelt conversation mm-hmm. and I'm just going to be vulnerable right now, because vulnerability lends to more vulnerability. If you are vulnerable to you, you'll be vulnerable to me.
I don't feel like ego is properly defined, I would say. I feel like you can still have an ego.
You're right.
And, you know, and still be, you know, carry the basic things of human nature, be apologetic, understand, be open-minded, know when to apologize, know when to feel emotional. I feel like that society teaches us that ego is like this almost a supernatural way of being where you're like, no, I'm not going to do it. I feel like we do need an
absolutely
ego.
Correct.
We do need an ego because I feel like the ego is what's going to, it's kind of like what determines our personality, but I feel like we don't, I feel like we misplace ego in a different category where it's just kind of like, it just, it's not properly defined.
There's two sides to ego, right?
Yeah. So
there is that ego of, yes, I can do this. I am the ish, right? I'm a badass. I'm a mama. Like, yeah. And then there's the ego that goes, I'm not going to apologize because it's too hurtful for me to admit that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not going to experience, or if someone says something to you and you take it so personally and it had nothing to do with you.
Right.
Right. That's your ego taking front and center stage saying, I matter more than anything else and anybody else.
In circling back to that, to your goal setting programs for women, I do want to wrap up and just say, first of all, I want to thank you for being here and taking the time to speak with me to talk about, you know, the program that you're actually building for women to set their SMART goals. And also, I can't wait to have you again so we can talk about this.
Yes, I can't wait to come back.
I'm going to take a nice long break after this, after these seasons wrap up. And then, but I do want to tell everyone, I'm going to leave Ayo's information on the link description below with her information, and you guys can go directly there and actually sign up to her program if you guys want to do that. And again, really thank you. And one caveat that I want to take from this interview is, please set your goals. Please set your mindset goals as well. I feel like that is super important when it comes to starting anything new in your life. I don't care if it's a hobby, if it's content creation, if it's just that you want to be corporate. Your dream is to be in a corporate executive, badass, boss, CEO, girl bossing it all the way. Go for it. I am with you. Yeah. But for that is what we were both talking about today. You need to set your goals, and you need to have a roadmap. And I hope you really take that into, you know, you start taking that in, practicing it every single day, try to set some type of goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to invite you, Francesca, to take the course along with all of
us. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
we're doing it.
We'll give a discount code to your listeners and your viewers, Francesca. And we'll give you all that information to put in the show notes. And so we'll give them a discount for taking the course.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Your listener.
If you guys listened all the way through, I'm going to leave the discount code at the description below. And then I hope you guys sign up. And oh my gosh, I will see all of you next time. And again, Ayo, thank you so much for joining me today. And it was fun talking about this. Remember.
Thank you so much.
Set your goals. Change your mindset. And until next time.